Our message tonight is out of Romans chapter 15, verses 23 to 33, the priority schedule for Paul's exemplary life and ministry. God's righteousness is seen in Paul's ministry is worth noting, for since he is the greatest missionary in church history, his ministry offers an excellent example of the kind of spiritual ministry that God wants us to have. In fact, in several places, Paul said, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." One realm of ministry that has been a problem for Christian workers in recent times is how to prioritize one's responsibilities so as to live and serve the Lord honorably. After all, Christians have many responsibilities with family, home, work, etc., that often seem hard to juggle in a God-honoring way. Well, God's righteousness was exemplified in Paul's priority schedule in ministry, and the way he laid it out in Romans 15, 23 to 33 is invaluable for our practical insight and application as follows. I'd like to read the section, and then we'll look at it from the Word of God. Romans 15, 23 to 33. "But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I might somewhat be filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are in Jerusalem. It has pleased them truly, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in material or carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." It's interesting that in this section of Scripture, Romans chapter 15, 23 to 33, Paul mentions several responsibilities that he had to address in his life and ministry. I thoroughly enjoy these sections of the epistles. They're often the least studied, and yet sometimes they're the richest in regards to what we can mine from them. By way of the lives of the Apostle Paul and others. In Romans 15, 23 and 24, Paul alluded to his duty before God as an apostle to the Gentiles, to reach the lost Gentile world in particular with the gospel of Christ. You notice in verse 23, having no more place in these parts. What do you mean, no more place? Well, he had, verse 20, he had said, "I have striven to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written," and he quotes from Isaiah 52:15, "to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and that they have not heard shall understand." So Paul had the responsibility of carrying out his assignment. He had assignment to go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel. Now, when he would go to them, he would reach the Jews and the Jewish synagogue first and then the Gentiles, but primarily his emphasis was on reaching the Gentiles, where Peter's emphasis was on reaching the Jews for Christ. So that was one responsibility that he had. You and I have responsibilities. I personally have a responsibility in my ministry as being a pastor. Each one here has a responsibility. We're involved in, some of us are in Sunday school classes. Some of us are involved in music ministry. Some of us are involved in a variety of helps behind the scenes. We've got all sorts of responsibilities, leadership, oversight. But those are all callings from God. Those are responsibilities, and God wants us to take those responsibilities seriously. However, in Romans 15, 23 and 24, and 28 and 29, Paul mentioned his long-sought desire to visit believers in Rome, that he might minister to them for their edification, and they to minister to him for his building up in Christ. That's why I said having no more place in these parts, but having a great desire these many years to come to you. Paul had been wanting to come to these people for a long time and minister to them. In verse 28, therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you unto Spain. And I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So ministering to other believers, there's always, I think there's a bottomless pit when it comes to needs in believers. Fellow believers need encouragement. Fellow believers need fellowship. They need us to interact with them. I was talking with my mother years ago about the need to contact people, and she says, son, I think there's a constant need that people have for our attention and for our love in Christ and for our prayers for them. There's just, the need is enormous. We can never actually fulfill that need. In addition, in Romans 15, 25 and 26, Paul wrote of his need to go to Jerusalem to deliver much-needed finances from collections taken by believers in the churches of Macedonia and Achaia for poverty-stricken believers in Jerusalem. The Gentile donors who received the gospel from Jerusalem saints were obliged to address the material livelihood needs of Jerusalem saints who had given them the gospel, and they were taking this responsibility seriously. And Paul couldn't wait too long. I mean, when you got people who have material needs, and those material needs are for clothing, for food, maybe for health needs, and they need to get certain things in the marketplace in order to take care of addressing their health and so forth. Time is of the essence. You can't just wait around forever. I remember every now and then we've heard of needs that missionaries have. One time we heard of a need that missionaries, we had some missionaries, and they were actually suffering shortfalls and were actually in the process of skipping meals. And we thought, this is a dire situation. So as a board, we took special action. And I believe before the Lord it was right. And there are several things that are open to us in the budget, and we were able to dip into that to help them, tie them over for a short period of time. Because, it's unthinkable for us to think of missionaries not being able to have meals, and they're serving the Lord. So whatever we could do to help them out, we certainly... So that's a need. That's a responsibility. I mean, here we are. We're talking about a wide variety of duties. And then finally, in Romans 15, 30 to 33, Paul mentioned the need for prayer, for protection from his ministry enemies. You know, it's interesting. Paul's life was constantly threatened by enemies of the gospel. But he mentioned this last. His concern was for other people. His concern was for the material needs of fellow believers. His concern was fulfilling the requirements that God had given for him. And then, I've got enemies who want to kill me. You know, I'd really appreciate your prayers in regards to this. Paul was ready to die at a moment's notice, to go home to be with the Lord. But he didn't neglect that duty. He asked people to pray for him. But that was not number one on the priority list. So, all of these responsibilities are prioritized in this passage, Romans 15, 23 to 33, providing an invaluable example for us in developing God-honoring priority schedules for our lives and ministries as follows. I took a real lesson from this because I had never gone through this passage to prioritize these things, but Paul did. The first priority of Paul's agenda was that of addressing pressing livelihood needs. Now, these livelihood needs were not his. They were livelihood needs of other Christians. But that was a big issue. Though he intended to visit his believing readers in Rome and then be financially helped by them to go to Spain to minister the gospel in that realm, Paul was first headed to Jerusalem with the offering of the Macedonian and Achaia churches for poverty-stricken Jerusalem believers. Now, Paul wrote this Romans epistle from the city of Corinth, so he was headed the opposite direction from Rome and Spain to meet his need. I have a map at the end of my Ryrie Study Bible, map 14, the spread of Christianity, and they have a picture there of the Mediterranean area. And you got Corinth pretty much in the center. If you go due east, guess what? You got Spain over here and Rome and so forth. If you go, due west, you got Rome and Spain. If you go due east, you got where Paul was headed. So Paul said, I'm going to go in this direction first, and then I'm going to turn around and come back to you. Wow. That's demonstrating a priority. He was putting the pressing livelihood needs of people ahead of two things. He was pressing livelihood needs in other believers above his formal ministry calling of reaching the unreached and above his ministering to edify mature believers in Rome. Now that's something we need to keep in mind. Pressing livelihood needs from God's perspective take a priority over even doing your ministry. If we have responsibilities to take care of family, or wives and children, if we have responsibility to take care of an elderly, dependent, and so forth, God holds that as our priority number one. That's above ministry. We've got to take care of these people. They're very important. And I also believe in regards to fellow believers. Every now and then we run into situations where there are believers, even in our own body, who run into unusual hardships. Maybe there's a loss of a job, or maybe someone has a terrible illness and there's a loss of a job, loss of income, and so forth. And they're really hard up. The first thing that we as a body should be doing is considering what can we do to help. And then in addition, Paul addressed this livelihood need at the risk of his own safety in Judea. See, he's going to Judea to give the offering. If he goes there, he has enemies there. But he's going. Why? Because there are believers around him who have livelihood issues. And those livelihood issues are more important than his own safety. So he's willing to risk his life in order to meet the livelihood needs of fellow believers. That's important. The second priority on Paul's agenda was that of his calling to evangelize the unreached. We note that Paul had long delayed ministering to edify believers in Rome due to his need to fulfill his calling to evangelize the unreached lost Gentile world. This does not mean that every believer should put evangelism above edifying other believers, for Paul's gifting was that of an apostle, and his calling was to reach primarily unreached Gentiles, different from, for example, a teacher or a pastor in a local church whose calling before God is to edify the saints in that local church. I'm, for example, as a pastor, am required of the Lord to be a witness, but my primary ministry is not evangelism. My primary ministry is ministering to the saints, is teaching. But we are supposed to involve evangelism. Paul says, fulfill the work, do the work of an evangelist. So each Sunday morning in our introduction, we do give the gospel, just in case. But outside of the church, yes, there have been opportunities of witnessing Christ. But nevertheless, our calling. So one's ministry calling should be as priority, second only to pressing livelihood needs. So once pressing livelihood needs are met, the next focus should be our calling before the Lord. Now this is important. Sometimes I've seen believers, they'll say, oh, I want a ministry. And so they take on a ministry in the church, and before you know it, they kind of run out of steam, run out of a motivation, so they kind of quit. You know, from God's perspective, the most important function, the most important institution in the world right now is the local church. The local church that ministers the word, wherever we are. That is the primary thing. So, that being the case, if we get an assignment in the church, if it's mopping the floors, that's a calling before God. If it's a teaching a class, that's a calling before God. If it's involved in fellowship hall or in the choir or whatever, the calling is, that's important. And we shouldn't just treat it lightly, but we take it and take it as a serious calling from the Lord until he directs otherwise. And Paul did. The third priority in Paul's agenda was edifying saints to whom he had not been called to minister as his main priority, what he intended to do en route to reaching the lost in Spain. So after meeting pressing livelihood needs, after then our fulfilling our calling before the Lord, what can we do to edify and build up other Christians in the Lord? That's a tremendous ministry. And then fourth, Paul's priority in his agenda was his own safety from enemies of his ministry. This is why I think the martyrdom of the American missionaries to the Auk Indians was right in line with the will of God. They were reaching, they knew that there was a risk, and they knew it was dangerous, but they had a compulsion to reach this unreached tribe. And they knew if they didn't try, there may be probably no one else at that particular time was going to reach the Auk Indians, known for their severity. and ferocity. So they left that morning, they sang hymns, they dedicated themselves to the Lord, and they went out and they lost their lives. But those Aki tribe came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And now they are fellow brothers in Christ, and someday they're going to be with Nate Saint and all these other guys who died that day. So we need to, our own safety, yes, we need to keep in mind that safety is something that is wise, but our safety is something we should be willing to put at risk for the will of God, of doing the job that God has given us to do, for pressing livelihood needs of others, for fulfilling our calling, and for ministering to other people. So Paul mentions this issue last in his list of duties and simply asks prayer so that he can better minister to others. But nevertheless, he was on his way to Jerusalem to put his life in danger. He had a job to do. He had a job to do, and he was going to do it. So Paul's priority schedule in his exemplary life and ministry was first to address pressing livelihood needs, second, his ministry calling, third, followed by edifying believers to whom he had not been called, and fourth, followed in turn by addressing his own safety from the foes in his ministry. So may we heed Paul's example in life and ministry in addressing pressing livelihood issues, then our calling, then edifying believers to whom we are not called, and then our own safety from foes to our ministry. Many years ago, the Africans in Nigeria watched missionaries, and they watched them go out, and often husbands and wives would go out and they would evangelize a village. And so eventually when they became witnesses, they would often go out. But some of our missionaries discovered what these evangelists and their wives were doing. They're leaving their children at home unattended, not doing housework at all, just going out evangelizing. So the missionaries came up and said, wait a minute, you're not completing your ministries at home. That's your first priority. And they said, well, you didn't do that. And the missionary said, oh, yes, we did. But they realized in exampling in front of these people, they weren't exampling what they were doing in their home life. So they had to bring out the example of their home life and show that they were taking care of their children, that they were cleaning their houses, they were doing their cooking and so forth, getting that ready so that then they could be an example to other people. So they realized, you know, in discipling people, it involves a lot more than just giving them the gospel. It involves a lot more than just going out on trek with your pith helmet, you know, in the hot sun and giving the gospel to people out there. It involves living an entire life in front of them so that they can be discipled properly. So our SIM missionaries especially had to learn that the issue of handling livelihood issues, handling the home life, rearing the children, those are priorities. Priority number one, how you're living. And then from that, then you get into the realm of ministry, and then you can reach out. And when they did that, it revolutionized the impact that they were having on the African church. And the people started getting their lives together and started living for the Lord. And then their children and then the grandchildren started coming along and were becoming committed Christians. And by the time I was growing up, there were some Christians there who were third generation Christians. And they knew the scriptures just like we did, just like you and I do, because they'd been raised that way. But it took some time to get the priorities right. So I'm encouraged by seeing how Paul operated this way. We need then to address pressing livelihood issues. Those are practical issues, but they're absolutely important. We've got to get this livelihood issue nailed down, family life and so forth. Then our calling. Then building up other believers to whom we're not called, and then putting our safety, yeah, we have to keep an eye in mind our safety, but putting that as an issue that is number four behind these other things, and leaving that safety issue with the Lord.